Good evening, everyone. I'm Dr. Peter Kevorkian, and I have the honor this evening of hosting Sherman Connect with honorary doctor, Jen Steinberg. Jen is not a chiropractor, but she probably knows more about chiropractic than many chiropractors I know, and would definitely be a person I would put in the front lines to discuss, support, defend this profession in so many ways. She is a certified clinical chiropractic assistant. She is an office manager and professional chiro spouse, married to Dr. Bruce Steinberg, and they together own and operate a phenomenal pediatric and family practice in Queensbury, New York, and also operates the Phoenix Shift, LLC, a company that specializes in creating outstanding chiropractic systems through training, community, and support. I know Jen and Bruce personally. They are who they are through and through. They are two of the most authentic, genuine beings that I know. Jen is an absolutely amazing soul and spirit. If you haven't met her, the moment you do, you will feel the radiance of her being just envelop you in this beautiful love and excitement and passion. Tonight's talk is Share the Fire. And I can't wait to hear the fire come from this woman's mouth. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. That's an awesome welcome. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. So there are lots of places we can go tonight. But I wanna see what your soul has got to share with our listeners tonight.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about CA training, since that's near and dear to my heart. I know that there's a lot of ideas out there around what makes up a great chiropractic assistant. I know when I go out and speak, I get asked a lot of questions by people, and it's almost like they think there must be some magical formula for it, which really isn't the case. I think it's a recipe for sure, and it's available to everyone. You just got to put a little something into it, I think. Obviously, we all kind of have the same general consensus around what it takes to make a great chiropractic assistant, as far as we want someone who's grounded in the fundamentals of chiropractic. We want someone who's an excellent communicator. We're all looking for someone who's tactful but a highly effective collections person. We want someone organized, resourceful, positive attitude, friendly, compassionate nature, all that laundry list that we usually use when we're looking for a new CA. I know for us, I'm always especially happy if I find someone with some bookkeeping experience or some accounting experience at the front desk, and I can go on, but most anyone who's listening can pretty much make that list up themselves. And hopefully the CA, when you hire them, knows what you want at the front desk also, so that they know what's expected of him or her. It's always nice if that's communicated early on in the relationship. I think it's vitally important to hire someone with as many of those traits as possible, especially the characteristics that can't be taught or trained into somebody. But I think if you really want to bridge the gap from good to great, it means taking personal responsibility as a chiropractor, or if you have an office manager, taking responsibility to consistently cultivate and educate your CA. And as I was preparing for the talk, actually, I kind of accidentally decided to take some time out and do a little personal reading, and I picked up, what's the name of this, Find Your Why by Simon Sinek. I think everybody's pretty familiar with Simon Sinek about now. And the very first paragraph and a half from his foreword in that book really, like, went hand in hand with my talk, so I wanted to take a second, if I can, and just share that. It reads, "Fulfillment is a right and not a privilege. Every single one of us is entitled to feel fulfilled by the work that we do. To wake up feeling inspired to go to work, to feel safe when we're there, and to return home with a sense that we contributed to something larger than ourselves. Fulfillment is not a lottery. It's not reserved for the lucky few who get to say, 'I love what I do.' For those who hold a leadership position, creating an environment in which people in charge feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves is your responsibility as a leader." And I really love that, because that's kind of the heart and soul of what I have to say to chiropractors, and if it's chiropractic students who are listening to the call, that when they get out there, that they understand that they have that responsibility as a leader.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I also think there's two really vitally important traits for every extraordinary CA. So if you're really looking for that extraordinary someone, to me, the first one is that you find a learner, and the second part is that you find a reformer. And by reformer, I mean someone who kind of has that mission attitude, who's looking to be a part of something bigger than themselves to make a difference in the world. And for a learner, I mean, learning and growing as a person, they always want more information. If you have those two things, I think you have the rough draft of a really amazing CA.
Absolutely.
I wanted to share
with you a little bit. How do you find that person to get them in your office?
Right?
And
hiring a great CA is a whole other topic, but I do have some ideas on that, and I think you need to hire really slowly and take your time through the process. If you develop the process first and then stick to it, I think a lot of times people have the idea of who they want to hire or what they want to hire. They don't, maybe in their first pass at it, they get not enough applications or not enough good applications, so they kind of settle. And I think that's the first really big mistake that everybody makes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you get through the process and no one makes the cut, then you start over. You don't just take whatever is available. That'll keep you out of trouble pretty quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll share with you my story. I was hired about 7 or 8 years ago as a CA. I actually was a chiropractic patient. My doc broke one of his rules, hiring a patient, but I had actually worked for another chiropractor when I started seeing him, and that's another story. But I would say that I probably met all the criteria with the exception of really knowing the fundamentals of chiropractic. I had been a chiropractic patient, and I had had a great experience in our office, but I didn't really know a whole lot about chiropractic. But I think that most importantly, I had and still have an enthusiasm and an excitement about growing and learning and a really deep desire to serve a purpose higher than myself. I wouldn't say that I was driven for the idea of success, but I definitely had a need to lead a life of some sort of significance. I think when you hire a reformer, which I definitely fit the profile. When I say reformer, that's a term from Enneagram. I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram test. But it's a personality test, and one of the traits is a reformer, and I am a reformer. And that's that mission mindset, that mission attitude. And when you hire a reformer, one of the beautiful things is that they're not really motivated by money especially. They're more motivated by having interesting and fulfilling work. So as long as you're able to provide that, which in chiropractic we have all the goods, we should be able to provide that pretty easily. Pay a fair wage, and you're going to have a fantastic employee who will stay for a very long time. I've been with our company now for 7 or 8 years as a chiropractic assistant. Our other CA in the office that we, who is definitely also a reformer, is going on 6 years with us. So that it makes for a nice long-term employee who really gets it.
Right.
So let's see, where was I? Well, lucky for me.
You're starting your story.
Yeah. Our office has a culture of education and purpose. Dr. Bruce definitely counts education as probably his highest value. And I figured out pretty quickly that he regularly invests in his own education, attending various education classes and getting their certificates and diplomates and things like that. And as a result of his educational experiences, he's constantly coming back into the office and educating our patients. And since we're close enough to pretty much hear all that, we by default are able to upload vast amounts of chiropractic science and philosophy on a daily basis. So I was able to pick up the fundamentals of chiropractic pretty quickly. One thing I also picked on was that whenever he would go off to a class or a seminar, he'd come back to the office and be full of fire and full of new concepts and new ideas. And none of those really touched me in my daily work. They didn't really change how I did my job on a daily basis. So it was really hard for me to catch that fire from him. And we have other CAs in our office. Mostly we kind of have our own little agreement. You know, he's going to a seminar this weekend. If we come back on Monday, it's going to be a pain in the ass for a couple of days. And if we ignore him, he'll get over it and leave us alone. So
that's
we're already
Yeah. True. For many CAs, probably do exactly the same thing.
More than likely, yeah. It was all an agreement in advance that we were going to be passively resistant to the changes, though. So he'd come back, and he'd want to make changes, and he'd be there without really any enthusiasm or any support. And if he really wanted to make a change, he'd have to work really, really hard to get it past any of us. That's just not a great situation. And yeah, it was his office, and he's the boss, and he has all the right in the world to just demand that we do things in a new way. And I talk to a lot of CAs, so I can tell you that that's pretty much how it happens in most offices. The doc comes back, and it's a hierarchy, and things are run by the rules that he establishes. And that, I mean, let's face it, that pretty much works. If you're really good at putting together systems, you can definitely design and operate a chiropractic business successfully.
Right.
And we were doing okay. And we, at that time, were seeing about 150 a week, which isn't huge, but it was paying the bills and making a nice, tidy profit. It's a respectable size office, I think. When we all stop doing chiro math, that 150 is probably a decent place. But what we weren't doing is filling our potential. Not as a chiropractic provider, not as a team, not individually. We weren't really having the kind of impact that we were capable of having in our community or anywhere else. And I could tell that Bruce knew that, and that he was really frustrated and feeling very unsatisfied, kind of spinning his wheels in mediocrity, probably because he's a reformer too. Fortunately, several things happened that really had a dramatic change on our trajectory. One of them was he just started to share his library of CDs with me. He could kind of tell that I was interested in chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
So he started sharing old CDs. I mean, the man has every chiropractic CD that he's ever listened to from school, and he was dealt in college and all the way through. So he's collected everything.
I love it.
Yeah, so I was listening to Williams CDs and Reggie Gold and all these greats. And when he ran out of CDs, he actually bought an iPod because he had more that he was able to download onto the iPod. So he gave each of us our own iPod filled with chiropractic seminars and things. So that was really, really cool. It was awesome. I loved it. And I started looking for more, actually. And I was on Facebook one day, and I found New Beginnings. And I called up Jim Dubell, and he said, hey, can a CA come to New Beginnings, even if the doc doesn't? Am I able to go alone? And, of course, he said yes. And I talked to Bruce about it, and he was a little shocked that I would actually even consider such a thing. But he made arrangements for us both to be at the next one.
Right.
In between the time that I found that and the time that we had New Beginnings, we also heard about another new seminar that was happening in the Berkshires. So we drove down and checked that one out. We just drove down for one day. The Berkshires is a day trip for us. And that was probably the day that totally changed my life and really got me hooked on chiropractic. I heard totally passionate speakers, and you were one of them, Peter. And they were sharing so many different facets of chiropractic beyond just what you might know of from outside. I still hadn't quite gotten the big idea at that point. And I know there's a lot of people who have a lot to say about preaching the big idea from the stage, but sometimes there's somebody in the audience who needs to hear it and hasn't yet. It's not all old news to everybody, you know?
Right.
So the first time I heard it, I was just blown away. There were so many people speaking. They just really seemed to believe in what they had or what we have. They believed they could change the world, and I was totally drinking the Kool-Aid. I can kind of remember, like, picking Bruce under the table over and over again. and he's just sitting there laughing at me because, I mean, you know, now it's fun to see somebody's lights come on in that way.
Right.
I think he was really enjoying it. Yeah. And then I think the last thing that really fell into place for me is that Bruce had joined at some point out of school the program put together by Pat and Rick Sapio called Chiro Business Finishing School. I honestly don't even know if it's still around now, but at the time he had been involved in that and going every year, and they would do, I think it was quarterly trainings, and he'd go, that was one of the seminars he would go to on his own and then come back and drive us crazy for a while, and then we'd get over it, you know. But he actually took me to that one with him. He had kind of caught on, like, taking a CA to the trainings with me is working out really, really good. So I went to that training, and that one was not just chiropractic, but chiropractic systems. And for me, a lot of my resistance melted when I could understand why it was important. Why is it important for me to change my language and to say things in a certain way and do things in a certain way? So that was really the last domino to fall. And then I came back and all the resistance to implementation was gone. I was ready and determined to, you know, really help us to have our biggest impact. And Doc had so many things that he had set aside, so many things he was really wanting to implement. And he started passing them over to me, and he had this extra set of hands who could make things happen. And together, within 6 months, we doubled the practice. And it was that radical.
Love it.
We
love it.
Set a goal. We were able to define our purposes, our purpose for the practice, a bunch of the activities that they had for that. We worked it all instead of just setting it all aside when you get home, and it worked great. And that whole process really, the course of those seminars in that short amount of time was what, like, took me from being interested in chiropractic to being 100% invested in our office purpose and mission. It was really cool. And I always think of Jim Rohn. One of his sayings is, if you're not willing to risk the unusual, you have to settle for the ordinary.
Amen. That's so true.
And that was, it is true. And that was one of those things where we just didn't want to have an ordinary practice. We really wanted to have an impact. So being willing to risk dragging a CA along to all these trainings, that, you know, whatever that minimal investment is, it feels like a ton when you're doing it. And when you have a small practice, I get that. But investing that money was clutch to us doubling our practice. I don't know how to make it any more clear than that. Like, that investment pays off.
Right. It's an investment, exactly as you said it, you know.
It is an investment. And I have no idea who said this one, but I'll throw this one there, too. There's that saying that says, only thing worse than training someone and having them leave is not training them and having them stay. And yet you have to train your CAs.
Absolutely. So what's the best way to do that? Yes, to give them to seminars, but in-house, how's the best way to train them?
Well, I think that there's a lot of options, and they're not all expensive either. I mean, like I said, Bruce started out by just sharing what he had. He had a ton of seminars on CDs and things. He had given me a green book already, The Bigness of the Fellow Within, which is one of the easier ones to read because you wouldn't want to bury someone in it, but I think that there are, at this point, a lot of different things becoming available online for trainings, different podcasts and Facebook groups and things like that where people can pick up a module. There's a lot of chiropractic training folks who are doing Facebook Live on a regular basis. There's Sermon Connect calls, things like that that are really free to share. And I think one of the big mistakes that people make is thinking that CAs can't take in all the chiropractic information that's out there, that because it's designed for chiropractors, CAs won't get it. And that's totally not the case. I love going to, since really we grew, I've been going to all the technique seminars, really any seminar that Bruce goes to, I go to. Now I have a different advantage because I'm not just his CA anymore, I'm his wife, but I go to these things and I think how much better I am to communicate about them when I see them. We changed several years ago to a tonal technique from a full diversified adjusting, and that requires some explaining to people, to practice members when they come, that things are going to be a little different. Having had the experience of being there for the training and being able to ask the trainers and the people that were teaching the course my own questions and to get answers that I could, that, so they're going to give me an answer that I can take in. They're not going to talk over my head, and that gives me the answer that I can share with other people, which would be an opportunity that I wouldn't have if I wasn't there.
Absolutely.
I think that being there in person is definitely number one, but to have the opportunity to listen to or watch a Facebook Live or to listen to a Sherman Connect call and talk about it, and be able to ask Doc questions so that they can answer them. So it's not that you can just toss it out there and let your CA do it on their own. You still have to be involved in the process. I think, number one, for accountability, if you're doing it, you want to know that they're actually doing something with it. But then, two, because there's going to be questions and there's going to be opportunities to have a discussion. And my favorite training tool is anything that generates a discussion in the office.
Always the best.
Yeah, when I'm training my CAs, I always tell them, you know, take this back, talk it over with your doc, and see what works for you. Sometimes things have to be tweaked. Everybody's office is just a little bit different. Some things resonate with the doc, other things don't at all. But have a conversation about it, and why? Why or why not? Right. Implement.
Very, 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 very true. So in your office, are you the only CA at this time?
I am not. We have two other CAs. So I actually very rarely work the front desk anymore.
Okay, so the other CAs work the front desk?
Yes.
Got it. And you handle marketing and business in the back?
I do, yep. And I also run, I do our scans. We use the Insight Subluxation Station, so I run scans in our office. And I handle financial, we do a lot of care plans. So I handle all, I put together all the care plans, and I'm the one that sits down with the practice member and goes over the care plan and sells the care.
Perfect. And so when people ask you about what role the chiropractic assistant should play, what's your belief? Should the CA be trained in doing all the clinical procedures and support beside the adjustment?
If they have an aptitude for it. I don't think that every CA is really, really great at that, but if you have a great communicator, then you want to use them in as many places as you can. I communicate chiropractic very, very well, probably because I've been out to all these seminars and things like that. So my being in the scan room is actually, I have heard doctors feel over and over. I pretty much know most of the time what he's going to say. So my whole job is setting him up to look amazing, to look like the smartest guy on the planet. When I'm in the scan room and I'm running the scans and I can kind of see what the results of those scans are, I can kind of set that conversation up so that they're thinking the right thoughts for when he comes in and says exactly what I know he's going to say.
I love it.
Yeah, but if you have someone who's not comfortable communicating, then you wouldn't want to throw them in that position. And all offices are big enough to have different positions, but I have someone who helps more on the marketing side, and then I have another CA who helps more on the accounting side because that's really her strength. And then I kind of oversee everything.
That's awesome. Jen, I'm going to take a very, very quick break from our conversation and just promote Sherman Lyceum. Is that all right?
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Okay. For the callers, the people who are listening, Sherman Lyceum is happening this year, the first weekend of May, May 3, 4, and 5. It's going to be an amazing event. Our plenary speakers are Dr. Edwin Cordero, the president of Sherman College, Dr. Jeannie Ohm, the CEO and founder of, not founder, but heads the ICPA, David Fletcher, who owns and operates CLA, and Dr. Dean Sotilli, who owns and operates Dean Sotilli, one of the funniest chiropractors on planet Earth. Should be in an absolutely amazing plenary sessions. And CE includes Bob Brooks, Nicole Crowley, Dean DePice, Curtis, I'm not going to get the name right, Frederick, Jay Holder, Danny Knowles, Tom Kolarik, Pat Kuta, Christy Kwan, Aaron MacArthur, Neilan Marcus, Matt McCoy, David Marantz, John Murray, Matthew Richardson, Scott Rosa, Armand Rossi, Jason Sabo, David Smith, and Bruce Steinberg. Oh, you know him?
I do know him.
Absolutely amazing program. This is going to be an interesting Lyceum, the first Lyceum ever that will not be held on campus. And the reason why is Sherman College is in the process of constructing the future. Sherman is under construction at the moment. It is, they're pouring foundations, putting up walls, redesigning the entire campus from once it was a $6 million improvement to the campus. We are very, 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 very excited about it. The plans look amazing. It's going to be a state-of-the-art institution, a showplace in some ways, but more important than that, the facility to house and deliver the finest chiropractic education on the planet. Hopefully we'll be able to have tours during Lyceum. That is planned. If you're interested in attending Lyceum, you can go to sherman.edu and click on Lyceum, or just do /Lyceum, or you can call the Continuing Education Department at Sherman. Jillian Kirsch is the Director of Continuing Education, but you can call the main number at the college, 864-578-8770, and the CE department is extension 229. Should be an exciting and absolutely amazing program. If you've never attended a Lyceum, it's well worth doing. It's fun, it's exciting, it's informative. It fills your heart and soul, and is where chiropractic lives. The heart and soul of chiropractic is in Spartanburg. So, Jenna, are you going to be there, I'm assuming, with Bruce?
I am going to be there. I'm actually teaching a CA course there.
Oh, awesome. I didn't have the CA leadership, but there's actually an excellent CA program that always goes on at Lyceum. I'm glad you're going to be teaching it. And the best part is people who have not met you can determine the accuracy of my introduction of you. They'll be able to feel your radius no matter where you are in the hotel as we're doing it. They'll be able to feel the radiance and beauty and passion of Jen Steinberg. So that'll be awesome.
They might, because I love being at Sherman. I really do. Bruce and I have been attending Lyceums now for a couple of years. We're regents for the college, support the college, and love what they're doing down there. And we're really excited to go to Lyceum and to get to see the new construction and everything that's going on there. It's super exciting.
It's a very, very exciting time for the school.
Yeah.
Thank you for supporting the college as you have. So, Jen, I'm going to switch the conversation just a little bit. So when does a chiropractor, a newer chiropractor in practice, when should they hire a CA?
Boy, there's a lot of conflicting ideas out there around that. I think it should be one of the earlier hires. I think that it lends a lot of credibility to the office. Have someone else at the front desk, someone else answering your phone and making your appointments. I mean, when we think of a doctor's office, isn't that what we think of? Yes, we don't want to follow the traditional medical model, but we do want to be able to earn their trust. I think it's important like I talked about how I'd like to set Bruce up to look amazing whenever anyone comes in the door. That's what a CA does for you. And another point that I'm going to get to is your CA can be an amazing accountability partner for you, someone who helps you grow and keeps you moving forward. And sometimes you need your rear end to be kicked out of your comfort zone, especially when you hit that place where you're doing okay. You know, it's okay to relax, so you might want to let the foot off the throttle a little bit. Having an accountability and partner in place and pushing you forward, reminding you of your purpose, you know, having someone just to meet with and state your purpose out loud once in a while, all those things are really invaluable to grow. So I say as soon as you can afford to hire someone, even if it's just someone part-time with the intention of bringing them on, you know, more hours as you go, I say do it sooner rather than later, and you'll be glad you did. But hire well.
And you made a comment earlier on that is actually one I would love you, if you can, expound upon, and that is don't settle. It's so easy, particularly for a new practitioner, it's less of an issue because they've been living without a CA, and the CA becomes another person who can help build, develop, and move their practice forward. So they're going to wait a little bit longer for the right person. But a practice that is operational and is busy and has become dependent upon their staff person or persons, when somebody leaves, it becomes a tremendous drain or stress into the practice because you need a body. You need somebody there. And it's so easy to settle, to hire somebody to you know, do the tasks. But very often when you settle, you wind up not just settling, but actually putting yourself in a situation of greater stress because you don't have the right person. So what values or what attributes do you feel are the highest for hiring a staff person to support a chiropractic practice?
Again, my highest, I really like a learner and want someone who is interested in growth, because that's going to be the person who creates that accountability partner for you. And someone who's got a little confidence, too. Because it takes a little bit to stand up to your boss and to say, you know, I know this is where we are today, but yesterday you told me you wanted to go here, and it doesn't seem like we're going in that direction. So having a little bit of confidence and ability to hold you accountable to the things that you say you want to do is a really big deal. And I think having someone with a little bit of that kind of growth mentality, so they have some of that emotional intelligence to know, you know, sometimes you got to sympathize. As a CA, I think we wear a lot of different hats that range from, like, mom sometimes to daycare to accountability partner or driver. But having the ability to say, okay, you know, today was a rough day, and I get that you're tired and you're down, but you can't stay there. We got to, you know, look at tomorrow and how can we make it better and how can we improve the situation. And you know, the CAs that I hire, one of the things I always tell them is that there's going to be problems. There's going to be things that we need to change or to do better. Always room for improvement, but bring me solutions. Don't just tell me what your problem is or why you don't like it. Come to me with a solution and tell me how you feel like we can make it better. So that's a mentality that I don't think everyone has. So you definitely don't want the complainers, you know. And you can design interview questions around seeking out that mentality.
So what's your favorite interview question?
Oh, I don't know if I have a favorite one. I have a lot of them. We are the epitome of hiring slowly these days. We don't hire super quickly. Yeah, I don't think I can't pick out a favorite one. It's actually been a little while since I've hired, which is a good thing. I don't like to hire often. Yeah. I definitely want to ask questions designed around finding out whether they really like to learn and whether they're a grower.
Perfect.
So it might be like, what book have you read? What's the last thing you did to enrich yourself? That kind of thing.
So I know that you are the co-owner and handle all the operations of your practice, but you also have another business that trains people to be excellent chiropractic assistants. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd love to.
So what do you do, and how do you do that?
My company is called The Phoenix Shift, and I have a private Facebook community where I plug CAs into the community. It's a subscription, so there's a monthly charge for it, and then each week, usually on Wednesday, there's a new video module. It may be video, maybe webinar style, so there's like a PowerPoint or something to follow along, but I'm teaching something new every week. They always get a note set, and the doc always gets a quiz set, so the accountability piece is there, because I don't want to teach to empty spaces. I want people who are actually going through the material and being held accountable to the material and learning it and implementing it. Yeah, I teach a wide range of things, though. One of my core values is non-fluff.
Is what?
Non-fluff. I offer non-fluff content.
I like non-fluff. Excellent.
I want stuff that CAs can use. Yeah. I teach up, I think, so that most of my CAs are going to be always learning a little bit more out of their comfort zone. Just a nudge each time out of a little farther out of their comfort zone. A lot of times with the idea that they'll go back and have a conversation with the doc and see what they can apply in their offices. Another one of my core values in my program is that it's super affordable, so it's $42 a month, which I don't think you're going to find anywhere else. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Wow.
It is unbelievable. Yeah, I really, really wanted there to be no excuse to not do this. I wanted it to be a total no-brainer. So it's super affordable. And the other big thing is that CAs lack community. We don't have the opportunity to get together as often as chiropractors do. Not that they all do, but I know Bruce and I are constantly out there every chance, because we like to hang out with normal people, as we put it, and chiropractors are our normal. CAs don't get that on a regular basis, so I wanted to create a community where they can interact with each other and share with each other and encourage each other and really feel like they were a part of something bigger than themselves, because that's really important to me. As a part of my training, I'm constantly explaining to them where their place is in this profession, that they're expected to be a professional in the chiropractic profession, that we want it. It belongs to us too, and that we have a voice.
Voice. As a matter of fact, in good offices, I believe many days in the future, and it may actually exist now in a few locations, I believe it's going to be the chiropractic assistant that's going to open a chiropractic office and then hire chiropractors to work for them.
It's a thought. I'll tell you, I have had the thought that could happen, you know. Definitely. In some states, there's some regulations around that, but I have seen some on-fire CAs and definitely had the thought that they could put that together. And I think that maybe chiropractors, there are some chiropractors who might even like that. I think that those who go into it for the healing profession, they really don't have a huge taste for the business side of things. They just want to do the art, you know. They enjoy the philosophy and do the art. And maybe they shouldn't have to be business people if that's not what they want to do.
That's right.
So,
chiropractors are great chiropractors, not necessarily good business people and not necessarily good bosses. Not that they're bad, but that's chiropractic college doesn't train you in that side of things.
You know, not at all.
It'll teach you how to be a good caregiver, a competent adjuster, teach you the philosophy. Many of the schools now are teaching good communications, and they'll actually teach you the business skills of how to, you know, do a consultation and do a report of findings and financial plans. But very few schools really teach how to run a business and how to hire staff, fire staff, and you know, do the accounting side of things. And that's a whole operational side that not everybody knows. And I totally believe that somebody else could do it very easily, hire a chiropractor to work in the office to see the patients.
Absolutely, yeah. When we did Chiro Business Finishing School, I think it's not around anymore. They dropped the Chiro off and it just became Business Finishing School, which is not the same as what we had. But when we did that, they went like right from Business 101. I mean, I took business in college, so you know they're teaching you how to read a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement, but also how to define your purpose and your goals and your mission and to really figure out like what's your ideal client and your target market. And Bruce had purchased this practice from another chiropractor, and it, and when we sat down to do those exercises, we realized that we had a practice that didn't fulfill him at all, didn't light him up, hadn't filled it with his ideal clients. We had a few here or there, and when we defined, you know, who do you love to see come through the door, we could see a very definite pattern. So we changed the entire direction that we were headed with the practice and started to define it as he loves pediatrics. He loves seeing pregnant moms and babies. And so we started to move in that direction. And as soon as we did, our voices changed, our energy changed. You know, we were really on fire for the idea. And it was the energy that changed. You know, it was dynamic and attractive to people. And that's why the practice grew like it did. But we're not learning those things. The chiropractors aren't learning those things in school. So you come out and you buy a practice and you're stuck, you know, if Medicare is not your thing and you have a Medicare practice, you're going to find yourself pretty disillusioned pretty quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you're working for Verizon or something.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As we're coming toward the end of our call, what final words do you have to share with our listeners relative to chiropractic assistants, training, staying motivated, finding your why? What is it that you want to give our listeners for the last few minutes that we're together?
Well, my goal tonight was to nudge chiropractors and especially students who are about to become chiropractors to just really adopt the idea that at some point it's your goal to cultivate an amazing CA. If you don't have one yet, that when you get one, that what you really want to do is cultivate that really outstanding individual. And if your doctor's already in practice and you've kind of let that ideal of working with your CA to grow your CA go? You don't really see them as in that role of helper in your practice. It's my opinion that our resources in chiropractic are way too limited for anyone to play small at this point. I mean, we can see all the things that chiropractic is up against right now, and at the very least, your CA is a voter and can go and vote and write congressmen and things like that. I have been down to our state capitol to talk about chiropractic with our assemblymen and senators. An empowered CA can be an amazing accountability partner if you're really serious about reaching your practice potential. I think something that you have to do. So an educated CA brings all kinds of new information and opportunities that expand your thinking and raise the vibration of both you and your office. And when that happens, your office starts to attract new patients, and it really is magical. So at that point, I hope it's not, am I going to get a CA and am I going to train them properly? It's how am I going to train my CA? And there's a lot of different avenues out there. Most all the seminars are offering CA programs now alongside of everything. My program is just for CAs. It's not meant to be an add-on to anything. It's very specifically for CAs, and it's affordable, so there's no excuses there. It doesn't matter what you do. You just have to do something.
Right.
If everybody's moving forward together, then success takes care of itself. But if everybody's just kind of sitting on the tracks, then nothing happens. You just get run over by the train.
Exactly what happens. Get up and do something.
Yeah, just commit to something. Commit to one, you know, at the monthly meeting to hand out some reading material and talk about it, or to watch a video. I mean, I love watching on YouTube. Reggie Gold videos are all over the place. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Watch it and talk about it. Just do something.
Yep. Absolutely. That's how you learn. That's how you learn, by watching, by listening, by integrating it, and then most importantly, having a conversation with other people, some who may see it the same way, some who actually see it very, very differently, that you learn an amazing way to communicate and understand others by really listening to what they're saying and doing. That's awesome, Jen.
Yeah.
So
thanks.
If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Jen at, and I have one N, so it's J-E-N, at thephoenixshift.com is a great way. Or Jen Steinberg, again, Jen with one N, on Facebook. I'm always happy to be Facebook friends, and chiropractors regularly reach out to me and ask for help with different things, and I'm always happy to share whatever I can with chiropractors if they need help hiring or have questions about any of that stuff. The next time I get on a talk, I was debating on whether or not to do care plans, because a lot of chiropractors have a lot of questions about care plans. I'm happy to talk about that. Just reach out. Let me know how I can help.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Any final words you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight? Other than be at Lyceum.
Be at Lyceum, yes. I'll see you at Lyceum. I can't wait.
I look forward to seeing you there, Jen. Big hugs from Peter and Patty, and big hugs to your hubby, and keep the power turned on.
Awesome. Thank you. We send her right back.
So
have a
much,
great
Jen.
Night, Peter.
What a great night. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good night, everyone. Good night.